There is never a sinner so far from God that Jesus can't bring them home. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Greetings, radio listeners. This broadcast program is coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly in the East Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. And this evening, we invite you to listen with us as Pastor Brian Grant brings a message outlining the path of how one can experience the joy of the Lord even in times of deep distress and disruption. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of Experiencing the Joy of the Lord.
Years ago, the noted pastor and author Ray Steadman visited England to speak at a Bible conference. The service began with the well-known chorus, "Our God Reigns." But when Pastor Steadman glanced at the song sheet, he started to smile. And soon after, he started to laugh because the error was so significant. For the word "reigns" on the song sheet, "Our God Reigns," was misspelt. For instead of "reigns," they had added an extra S, and instead of R-E-I-G-N-S, they had written R-E-S-I-G-N-S. So instead of singing "Our God Reigns," the congregation was belting out "Our God Resigns." True story, by the way, as to how they made that mistake and people were actually singing the wrong thing, only God knows. But my friend, God has not resigned. Amen? Amen. God has not resigned and he never will, for our God reigns forever and evermore. And the God who reigns forevermore has made it possible for each of us to experience deep and lasting joy. And today I'd like to speak to you on the theme, Experiencing the Joy of the Lord. Experiencing the joy of the Lord. Here's the first of five things I want to share with you this morning about experiencing the joy of the Lord. So add this to your notes. And if you're a visitor, just know in your bulletin, there's an insert that you can follow along and fill out and have your own notes. Here's the first thing I'd like you to put in your notes. Experiencing the joy of the Lord is within reach of even the vilest sinner. At the beginning of Acts chapter 8, the church was facing such intense persecution that for their safety, some Christians were leaving Jerusalem and moving to other parts of Israel. The main person triggering this intense persecution of Christians was Saul of Tarsus, a devout Jewish rabbi who was determined to have Christians arrested and killed for their faith in Jesus. And some of you know that in Acts chapter 7, Stephen was one of the early leaders of the church, was stoned to death. You remember that story? And Acts 8 tells us that guess who was behind this? Saul was the one behind this awful atrocity. Turn in your Bibles to Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. I just want to read from that verse number 1 says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time a great persecution arose against the church that was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison." Saul was not only the ringleader in having Stephen stoned to death, but was on a war path to have many more Christians imprisoned. For Saul hated both Christians and the gospel of Christ. But my friend, there is never a sinner so far from God that Jesus can bring them home. Amen? And in Acts chapter 9, and by the way, my brother and sister, that's why you need not give up on your unsaved friends and relatives, those children who seem to have wandered so far from the fold. Don't give up on them, for there is never a sinner so far from God that Jesus can't bring them home. Amen. Saul, in Acts chapter 9, Saul, the church's greatest persecutor, received Christ as Savior and became the church's greatest advocate. What a mighty God we serve. Saul's name was changed to Paul. As a result, not every person in church realizes that Saul is the same persecutor. His name was changed to Paul, who became the great apostle, and he became so totally committed to Christ, he was eventually martyred for his faith in Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul made this statement: "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And he said, "Of whom I am the chief." Thank God that many of us here today are among those sinners who were saved by God's grace. Amen. Are you one of them? Are you one of those sinners who has been saved by the grace of God? Amen. First, experiencing the joy of the Lord is it within reach of even the vilest sinner. Don't give up on your friends. Don't give up on your relatives. Amen. You say, I've heard somebody say, if I may give you someone, this is a person, Jamaican. So they were speaking the Jamaican patois. Him too hard for save. You understand it? Him too hard for save. In other words, this one is just too hard to get saved. Don't ever have that attitude. Some of you are running to people. Some of you have family members right now, and they're wandering so far from God, and you feel like giving up. Don't give up. There is never a sinner so far from God that Jesus can't bring home. My job and your job is to keep sharing, keep praying, keep encouraging. Amen. Experiencing the joy of the Lord who is within reach of even the vilest sinner. But here's the second thing. Experiencing the joy of the Lord is available to every race and nationality. Oh, some people say this is the white man's religion. This gospel is for the whole world. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just before his ascension, Jesus promised he'd empower his disciples to take the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But almost 5 years, I did some homework here, almost 5 years after the ascension of Jesus, very little had been done to spread the gospel beyond the heavily Jewish regions of Jerusalem and Judea. Almost 5 years after the resurrection, everybody was still hanging around in that area. So in Acts chapter 8, God allowed the church to experience persecution. Sometime God will allow trouble to come our way to get us moving. Amen. And so in Acts 8, God allowed the church to experience persecution so they'd leave Jerusalem and Judea and take the gospel set to Samaria, where the despised Samaritans live. You've heard about that, right? If you went to Sunday school, you've heard them say, the Jews have what? No dealings with who? The Samaritans. So now they have taken the gospel. God is now going to pressure them to take the gospel to the despised Samaritans and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 8, verse number 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Philip, a Jewish evangelist and one of the seven deacons of the early church, had now gone to preach in Samaria, and a big revival broke out. despite the long-standing rift, an incredible work of the Holy Spirit was taking place in Samaria, and scores of people were getting saved. God was uniting Jews and Samaritans. Isn't that a wonder-working God? God was uniting these Jews with the very people. They said the Jews and the Samaritans can't get along. But by the grace of God, the Jews and the Samaritans were getting along in church because they were united by the blood of Jesus. And our generation needs to hear this nonsense that's splitting the church of Jesus into all sorts of races and financial divisions. Is from the devil. My Bible says we are one in Christ Jesus. Amen. And oh, as we, I know this message is being preached on stations that not, that sometimes if we're not careful, are not as diverse as we need to be. But this gospel is a gospel for everyone. I want you to know, listen, if you're looking for a church, I want you to know we have over 20 people from over 20 countries in this church from every race. Come on over, amen. You're welcome right here. I imagine Philip the evangelist must have been thrilled to see this mighty movement of God. But suddenly, and without warning, something very surprising happened. Meet me at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. You ever heard about Gaza? It's in the news a lot these days, right? Well, here it is right here in your chapter. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Well, we can see that on the news. It's some tough territory, right? So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia. Huh? Where's Ethiopia? What? Yes, Africa. A man of Ethiopia. A eunuch of great authority. So all them folks who said this is a white man's gospel. Look at this. Right here in Acts chapter 8. The gospel had been confined by the Jewish people right there in Judea. Now it has just gotten to Samaria. And in the same chapter, it's now going to Africa. A eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, I'll come back to that, came to Jerusalem to worship. Jesus had commissioned his disciples to witness everywhere, and he had uprooted Philip. Can you imagine? Philip is in the middle of a revival. You just read that people are getting saved like crazy in Samaria. And in the middle of that revival, God grabs him and says, I'm going to take you to this one man, this one African. Let's not miss this. Just as God uprooted Philip in the midst of a great spiritual harvest, we must always respond to God's call, whether he's sending us to a solitary person in the desert or to a large crowd in the city. I took it out of my notes, but I'm going to put it back in, okay? It is a shame what's going on in our Christian church today that some preachers, they want to know in advance how much you're going to give them and how many people will be there. And if enough people won't be there, and if the check ain't right, they ain't coming. I challenge you preachers, those of you who may be under the sound of my voice, let's get back to the book. Amen? Let's not be copying what's going on in our society. We have been called to preach the word of God. Let us preach the word of God, not for money, but by the movement of the Spirit of God. As I studied this, I discovered, listen good now, I discovered that Ethiopia was over 2,000 miles from Jerusalem. And since back then there was no speedy method of transportation, I found this interesting. I didn't find this in some Bible commentary. I was just doing my research. Here's what they tell us. At that time, Ethiopia was regarded as the ends of the earth. I got that exact phrase. I was so, whoa! Ethiopia was regarded as the ends of the earth. God was about to fulfill the promise to send the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So let's see what happens next, okay? Acts of the Apostles 8, verse 29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Wow. Some people, have you ever heard anyone say that, some people argue about whether which religion, which race is Christianity for? But it is interesting that this African leader didn't seem to get the memo that Christianity was not for folks that looked like him. Because this African leader was reading the Bible. Young people, don't listen to that baloney. Okay? The African leader was reading the Bible when he met Philip. His only problem was he couldn't understand what he was reading. We're in graduation season, and a new crop of our young people will soon be starting college and will likely have their faith challenged by enemies of the cross. As I look around the audience, I see some of the young people. Some of you, we're so proud of you. Some of you are going to go to some outstanding universities and colleges. We thank God for the blessing, how he has blessed you. But young people, stand firm. Please write this in your notes. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a message for the whole world. Amen. It's a message for the whole world and is the only message of salvation and lasting joy available to mankind. John's gospel chapter 3 verse 16. We know that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, what? But have everlasting life. This gospel is for the whole world. You hear me, young people? Those of you in college, those of you who are approaching college, hold on to the message of the gospel. Flick back a couple of pages to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And if you don't have this one, just underline it so you'll never forget it when they try to sway you. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other. What does your Bible say there? For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a message for the whole world and is the only message of salvation. Oh, if you don't know this Jesus, if you haven't received him as your Savior yet, I encourage you, regardless of your age, come to Jesus today. Stand flat-footed on the word. Perhaps there's someone listening who you have rejected Jesus because of your sophistication or your wealth. This Ethiopian official was a very major player. I want to point that out too, because this was no ordinary Ethiopian. You see, he's riding his chariot. He has all these people traveling with him. The Ethiopian official is a very major player, for he controlled the Ethiopian kingdom's finances. And so I thought I would check out what was the Ethiopian kingdom like in those days. And I discovered that the Ethiopian kingdom at that time was among the world's greatest trading empires. It had great resources of diamonds. It had great resources of gold, ivory, spices. This was an incredibly wealthy dynasty. He was wealthy. He was powerful. He was very influential. But there was a spiritual void in his life, and he was willing to admit it. How about you? Are you willing to acknowledge before God your spiritual need, that there is a spiritual emptiness, that despite all you have done, despite all you have accumulated, there is a spiritual need in your life? This man was actually seeking after God. First, experiencing the joy of the Lord is within reach of even the vilest sinner. Second, experiencing the joy of the Lord is available to everyone, regardless of race or nationality. Here's the third thing I want you to write. Experiencing the joy of the Lord requires sincerely seeking after God. In those days, the one-way trip from Ethiopia to Samaria would have taken 70 days or more of continuous travel. 70 days. I didn't say 7 hours. 70 days of continuous travel. No wonder Ethiopia was regarded as the end of the world. You know, I'm from a country that it takes you about 3 hours to cover the whole place. Can you imagine 70 days? But despite the inconvenience, this powerful official was determined to know the true and living God. The Bible text, if you notice, said he had come to worship. The whole purpose for this trip was not to make a deal. The purpose of the trip was he wanted to find God. It was to worship. He had made this long and difficult journey to Jerusalem, hoping to find the true God. But verse 28 indicates he was now on his way back to Ethiopia, very disappointed because he had not come. He had not met the living and the true God. He was going home. But God was about to reveal himself to him. For God always comes near to those who earnestly seek him. Amen. God always comes near to those who earnestly seek him. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. Let me put that verse on the screen. I think it's in my notes. Jeremiah 29, 13 says, "And you will seek me and find me," what? "When you search for me with all your heart." My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
This July, as America celebrates its 250th anniversary, join us for the Mount Pleasant Avenue Summerfest, a special time of Christian music, fun, and fellowship for the whole family. Summerfest begins Friday, July 10th at 7 p.m. with a youth-focused praise service at Grace Christian Assembly Sanctuary. The main outdoor event continues on Saturday, July 11th from noon to evening. The city will close the 600 block of East Mount Pleasant Avenue, and a large tent will feature local and national gospel singers, a Christian magician, and powerful testimonies of God's amazing grace and transforming power. Families will also enjoy a bounce house, health tent, information tents, and 4 food trucks with food for purchase. Pray for God to use this outreach to save many lives. Plan to join us. For information or to partner with us, call 215-242-5550. Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.